All right. Homer's going to help me out a little bit tonight. Would you welcome Homer Bettencourt? Amen.
We had a real good time Sunday night with Amber. It was great. A lot of the college kids came out. A lot of them are going back now, going back to college, but we've been having some good times. What do you base that on, Homer? Well, I get a lot of feedback from the kids, a lot of emails and texts and phone calls and going to the house after church, talking about the service. So thank God. God is so good, man. I don't want to do it without His presence. It's just in vain. I don't want to. It's just been incredible. It's been incredible. I had a different morning this morning. I got up a little late this morning. Slept in a little bit, but I was going to put a little time in and worship God, but it was a comical morning. It's just like I didn't worship, but I didn't read the Bible. I didn't do nothing, but and my wife probably didn't know what the heck was going on through my mind. It was just crazy. I can't even begin to explain it, what happened to me. I was just there. I was just talking to Jesus like He was one of my buddies watching a football game with me. And all kind of thoughts were going through my mind. I was singing songs and all kind of songs. And I was just, what's up, Jesus? It was so strange, but it was so awesome because He felt so real to me. We were just like rubbing shoulders and like cooking hamburgers on the grill and just chilling and talking to each other. And it was just a great, great, great feeling to know that our Redeemer wants to be so personal with us. And I started thinking, how many of you seen the movie Miss Congeniality? How do you say that? Remember the part when she said, you think I'm pretty. You want to kiss me. So I put myself on Jesus' side. What He was saying to me at that time, He was saying, I think you're handsome. I want to heal you. Mold and mend you. I was singing it over. I was just putting my place in the heart of Jesus for me, the things that He wants for me, how He feels about me. I want to touch you. Holding me. I was just singing. I woke up my wife and she went, I woke her up. And it was just incredible. I sung another song, and I don't know where they were coming from. I never had a morning like this, and I was singing. It's a secular song that I heard many years. It was not a bad song, and I was singing, and I said, I don't care what they say about me, and I don't care what they say. Only thing I care about is being with you. It was just so strange. I just can't explain it, how personal it was talking to the Redeemer. And I was singing to Him, and my wife's telling me to shut up. So what do you do, man? Yeah, 6 o'clock in the morning, shut up. But it was so personal, pastors. It was so personal. And God isn't involved in a... And it's not a bad secular song. It's old. But I just felt like we were boys. It was just incredible. Flat out incredible that I could just talk to Him. And it's like when me and Pastor used to watch a lot of Miami Dolphin games together, high-fiving and yelling and screaming over a football game, and then when we lose it, we don't even say bye to each other. Bye, get out. It was awesome. And our Savior wants to be personal with us. He wants to consume us. He wants to be everything to me and you. And praise God for Him. Praise God for this walk. Praise God for this walk in the Spirit. We're on the right course. I'm not looking for anything else other than what we have. Like Pastor said, there's somebody else that can offer something. We'll take that limb. But I've gone through this quite a bit. And it's going to be hard to convince me of another limb. It's going to be real hard. Maybe it might exist, but in here lies all that me and you need in abundance. So we're on the right course. And we serve a risen Savior. And His name is Jesus Christ. And He is Lord over this town. There's a bunch of kids that are falling in love with Him. Flat out falling in love with Him. And that's why we live, to serve the risen Savior. And He does want us to partake of all that He has. I was the other night, I'm not going to I don't think I'm going to go too long, really. Cross my heart. I got a big heart, Pastor. I was waiting for that answer. I've said that for 3 times. I've preached and nobody's ever answered back. But I got your back. The other day I was asleep and I forgot about you, Amber. I was up the other night, yesterday, and I was worshiping God, having a good old time, and you came to my mind immediately out of the blues. And I tell you what, you're not Gary Flint's little girl no more. It might seem comical, but you're Amber Flint. You got your own identity in Jesus Christ. I mean, as a mother to many to come. A big part in this revival. You're not just Miss Candy and Pastor Brown's little girl no more. You're your own person in Him, and you're going to affect so many by your compassion. That's what we need in God's kingdom. We need compassion and love. Wisdom is great. I mean, you know, it's good. It's good, but my God, if you can't walk in love and compassion, your walk with Christ is in vain. It really is, according to the Word of God that I read. It's all about love. It covers a multitude of sin. That's what we need, to walk in love. And out of the blues, Amber, that just come to me. I said, well, that girl isn't Pastor Bonk's little girl no more. She's Amber Flint. She's got her own identity in Christ. And there's no doubt in my mind. There's no doubt in my mind that you're going to make your mark in this revival, in this church. Just because you love Jesus. No, not following your dad or your mom, but just because you love Jesus. And that's what we want. We want to follow Jesus. Not anybody else but Jesus. A couple nights ago, I shared this with the kids, I think, Sunday night. I was asleep and I had a dream, strange dream. In the dream, there was a room on one side, and through the room there was a frame. It had no door, but the frame was black, solid pitch black. It's completely black all the way around. The frame, the door was open, but you could see inside of the room. It was just pure, just purity. Everything was just so pure, like almost like solid crystal. And I looked at the room and I was staring at it. And I looked at it, stared at it, walked away, and then I walked up to it. And I had the frame was all solid black, which I know it meant darkness, you know, kingdom of Satan. And I walked to the room and I was laughing. I was just making a crazy little laugh, like a little kid going into a candy store. And I went in there and I fell in there. And I started rolling around on the ground. I was going, I was just having such a good time in that room. And I found myself laughing over. I was you know, just laughing and laughing, rolling on the ground like somebody was poking me in the stomach. I mean, I had a blast in there. Man, I never left the room. I never left it to re-enter it. So then, remember, I never left it to re-enter. So then again, I saw myself outside and I saw the room. So I got to get back in there again. So this time I went in there with a little bowl and I just hit the frame of the door and pushed it aside and jumped in there again. And I started, it's like I was breakdancing. I was doing all kinds of things in that room. It felt so liberating to be in that room. Everything that I ever wanted in life as a believer now, was in that room. And I went in that room and I started walking around and walking fast and I was having a blast. And I didn't leave that room. And again, I saw myself on the outside. This time I got real cocky. And I went to the door and I started pacing backwards. Here we go. And I got there and I just took off running, didn't hit the doors, and I just flew in the room. And I was flying everywhere like Superman. Just flying everywhere. See that room? It had no boundaries. It looked small from the outside, but when I was inside, I was flying around from nation to nation, from nation to nation, from city to city, just embracing everything that was in that room. The freedom, the love, the power, the anointing, the forgiveness, the mercy, all that was in that room. I could have all that I wanted. And I flew in there and I stayed in there. And I could never see myself coming out, but I would always go in there in different stages and receive everything that God Almighty had for me. And I know that room was available to every single one of us. It's a place of purity, a place of all that He is. And I was so excited. And I tell you, I don't think my candle's ever burned as bright as it is now. I'm so, that just, and there is no burnout in Him. There is no, I'm excited, man. I can't explain this. I'm just so excited to know what He did for me on Calvary. To know what those 39 stripes on His back, what they did for me. I mean, literally, those 39 freedom stripes were for me, spirit, soul, and body. I have everything that I could ever want and need. And this man named Jesus Christ, he is my sufficiency. And he is your sufficiency. And I'm telling you, you can have all of him that you could ever possibly want if you want it. It's there. And it's accessible to me and you. There's power in his stripes. Turn with me real quick to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. Amen. Before we get started, how many living stones do we have in here? You got a living stone? I'm going to ask that question again when I get done. See if you still raise your hand. Bible says we come to him as a what? As a living stone, according to 1 Peter. But we'll come back to that in a little bit. His stripes, what they represent, and what they've done for me and you. We could just grasp it and comprehend it. Now, the book of 1 Peter, it talks about the sufferings of Christ. It parallels the Old Testament tremendously. And what it's talking about is the sufferings of Christ, not anything that we're used to. This is a book where Christians were being tortured, murdered, killed, violated in any which way you could think of. Those were the true sufferings of Christ for one reason, because they preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. What this book isn't making reference to, and it can sort of make you mad a little bit, is not, okay, Lord, I lost my peace today. And I'm not talking about myself here. Actually, I am. My light bill was $250 last month, Jesus. I got my new light bill. It was $369. So I lost my peace. It's not talking about that. It's not talking about the water bill that was $225 that went up to $300 in 1 month. It's not making a reference to that. That is not the sufferings of Christ. It's not making reference to Pastor Bronk having a barbecue and not inviting me and I lost my peace and got hurt. It's not making a reference to that. It's not making reference to me walking down the aisle and ignoring you and you losing your peace because I accidentally didn't say hi to you. That's not what it's making reference to. That's what makes me mad. Because the majority of the common problem of the church, Pastor, is something so carnal. It's usually if we base our life and compare what we feel are the sufferings of Christ to 1 Peter, they're not even remotely close to what he's talking about. Not even remotely close. If I lost my peace because I can't think of anything right now. Let's say my wife doesn't embrace me. If I lost my peace over that, if I lost my peace over the ability of not being able to come up with my mortgage, it's not talking about that in 1 Peter. This is something totally different in 1 Peter than what the common believer is used to. Well, that brother didn't talk to me, so I won't talk to him. I'll show him. It's not talking about losing your peace about that. It's not talking about that at all. If that's you, or that's us, or that's the body of Christ, guess what? I'm going to say something. Somebody raise their hand. You're still a living stone. And we're not called to be living stones the rest of our life in Christ Jesus at all. You got proof? Yes, I have proof. Let's forsake 1 Peter chapter 2 real quick. And let's go to... Hold on here. Let me see if I can find it. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 real quick. This book is talking about the sufferings and persecutions of believers for their stand for Jesus Christ. I mean, true, typical sufferings like Andrew, like Mark, like Jesus. True martyrs that suffered for preaching and walking in the power and might of the Holy Spirit. So we come to him, we get born again, we come to Christ as a living stone. What's built? A house is built what? On stone or on block? Block upon block, stone upon stone, mortar upon mortar, correct? It has a beginning, it has a foundation. So we come to Christ, we're born again, we are living stones in Christ immediately, correct? Are we to stay living stones? Are we to continue being living stones the rest of our life? No, we're not. How do you know? Because 1 Peter says, coming to him, chapter 2, verse 4, coming to him, a living stone, rejected indeed by man, but chosen by God, precious, you also, as living stones are what? Are being what? Are being what? Are being built up a what? Spiritual house. So we come to Him as a living stone. But we are to be being built up into a what? A spiritual house. So you got to be a living stone before you're being built up to a spiritual house. You have to. That's the first baby step. But we're not to remain as living stones. Not according to 1 Peter. We are to be having a life being built up what? To a spiritual house. So how do I obtain that? How do I obtain that status in my life where I surpass being a living stone? Well, I wouldn't ask you how you could do it if 1 Peter hadn't already given us the answer. He gave me the answer. He said, you're coming to Him a living stone. You accepted Jesus Christ as Redeemer. But I want you to be built up into a what? A spiritual house. And Peter, how can I build myself up to a spiritual house? Now, we'll get back to that in a little bit. You can always tell, and I've been there myself, what a person's limb is, or what the strong point is, or what limb they partake of the most. Because if you talk about tongues, they're going to amen a little extra louder. If you talk about fasting, they're going to rejoice and say amen. If you talk about meditation, they're going to say amen a little louder than they usually were. They're going to give themselves away, more or less. But 1 Peter here tells me and you exactly how we can go from a living stone status to being built up into a spiritual house. He tells us exactly how to do it. Chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, lay aside all what? All malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking as newborn babes. Listen to this. This is remarkable. What 1 Peter tells me that I can overcome, Pastor, the moment that I'm regenerated. The very moment that I can get, that I gave my life to Jesus Christ, He tells me I got the power to lay aside malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. As a newborn babe, I have the power immediately to lay that down. That's pretty incredible that he would tell us that. We're going on to the point that I'm looking for. He said, as newborn babes, desire, the Greek says, the soul nourishing milk. King James said it's the milk of the word, but the Greek says, as newborn babes desire the soul nourishing milk, that you may what? Grow. That you may what? Grow. Desire the soul nourishing milk that you may grow. Now, the soul nourishing milk, I looked it up in the Greek, it's talking about the word of God. Or some of you might say, well, you're bragging on meditation. No, no, no. What's in the word? There's not fasting in the word. Does not the word instruct us to fast? Is not tongues in the word? Does not the word instruct us to pray in tongues? Is not meditation in the word? Does the word not instruct us to meditate the word? So everything that we need to go from a living stone to a house being built up is in God's holy, undefiled word. There's no other way for me and you to go from a living stone to a house being built up for a spiritual sacrifice. This is all the instruction that we need is right here. The day we got born again, we had the power to overcome malice, hypocrisy, and evil speaking. We need to go on to true sufferings where people go up to you and they want to kill you and slap you and slander you because you're preaching and living out the name of Jesus Christ. That's not what we're looking for. But if that comes because of our holy, righteous lifestyle, then so be it. Let it happen. Those are the true sufferings of Christ. That's where it, when He hung on the cross and He bore the 39 marks on His back. See, the moment I got born again, Barbara, these little minute things, He said, I could kick them to the curb. He said, look, you can far overcome the malice and the hypocrisy and, you know, you lose your peace over a light bill or your husband didn't kiss you goodnight tonight or your wife didn't cook for you and you lost your peace. Look, man, as a born again babe, you're able to kick that to the curb. Don't be just a little rock. Build yourself up into a spiritual house. How? By greatly desiring the soul nourishing milk of the word. This right here can take us from a living stone from a living stone. I don't want to be a living stone the rest of my life. I want to be a house that's being built up for a spiritual sacrifice. How do I do it? Through His Word. See, His Word instructs me to fast. It instructs me about tongues. It instructs me to meditate. It instructs me to do the five limbs that we're on. Listen to me. You can't do it without this inside of you. You don't want to be a living stone your whole life. We want to grow up a house that's being built up for a spiritual sacrifice. He said, greatly. The same word that's used like when a man lusts after a woman in a negative way. It's the same lust that me and you should have. Greatly desiring God's holy, undefiled word. The same intensity as that me and you are to have. For His Word to come from being a living stone, the house being built up for a spiritual sacrifice. I'm telling you, the day we got born again, we can overcome all these things. Malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, evil speaking. As newborn babes, immediately the day I got born again, we had the potential in Christ to overcome these little things that He said I could overcome as a newborn baby. He said, but desire the pure soul nourishing milk that you may grow thereby, going from a living stone to a house being built up to spiritual sacrifice. But He gave me the answer. He gave me what I needed to take myself, to elevate my lifestyle in Christ and to become stronger, stronger in Him. And He said, do it by desiring the pure soul nourishing milk of the Word. He didn't give me any other instruction but to greatly desire these 66 books that are holy. And they're undefiled. He is all that we need, my friends. We are to live our lives living godly in Christ. See, persecution is going to come. We don't know what persecution is yet, Pastor. We don't know what the sufferings of Christ are. The common believer can't even get along with each other corporately. We can't even get past chapter 2, verse 1. There's still strife in the body of Christ. There's still anger and hatred. It's in the corporate body is what I'm talking about. It's still there. The sufferings of Christ, those stripes on Christ's back, set me free from malice. They set me free from contention. They set me free from offense. They set me free from every damnable thing that this world said I had to walk in. We abound tremendously through this man named Jesus Christ. We lack nothing under the worst scenario we could ever face. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. The very fact that I got born again tells me that, but I can take it one step further. I can take it from merely overcoming the flesh to living so godly in Him that I'm going to suffer persecution. It doesn't matter what you bring at me. Satan, I've been healed by His stripes. I made a commitment the other day. I saw a pastor a while back. I was going, getting a lot of laser treatment in my eye. And it just didn't seem to be getting better at all. And it was costing me money to do it. And I just said, I'm not going to do it no more. And I did that after I began to understand what His stripes and what Calvary did for me. Because if I would have done this 4 or 5 months ago, I probably would have gone blind already in my right eye. I was to the point where I couldn't even see. I couldn't even drive the bus at night because I couldn't calculate accordingly. Because the doctor told me that both our eyes are meant to work together and not single-handedly. So I was having a hard time driving the bus at night. I just didn't really tell nobody. I hit a couple of mailboxes one time that I drove it. Honestly, I did. Hard. But God took me. I asked the Lord. I said, Lord, I need something in my life and I need you to relay it to me, Lord Jesus. He took me to Isaiah and I stayed there night after night, night after night, night after night, tongue after tongue, night after night, tongue after tongue, meditating, relaying what God had for me. And after I felt Him begin to birth something in me, I got a boldness inside of me. I said, I'm not going back to that doctor. I'm not going back. It's costing me $300 or $400 a pop to get laser treatment. I'm not going back. It's not worth the after effects that I feel for 2 or 3 days. I had to come in here with sunglasses and know, God, this isn't your will. Not according to the book of Isaiah, Jesus. See, I'm not barren anymore, man. We're not a desolate city anymore. We've been endowed with perfection and beauty by the Lord Jesus Christ. if I'm not barren anymore, I can't go around acting like a barren man. My God, the King of Kings abides in me. And immediately after I began to feel God feeding me about His stripes and about the victory at Calvary, and a boldness rose up in me. I said, I'm not doing it no more. I'm not going back to that doctor again. And let me tell you something right now. I went from about 80%. I mean, I couldn't see 80% out of my eye. I'm about at 50% now, 40%. I'm gradually getting everything back. I got a $660 credit back from the doctor that they owed me, and I haven't gone back ever since. You know why? Because by His stripes I've been healed. Spirit, soul, and body. Now, I didn't do it, Pastor, being stubborn. I didn't make that stand outside of this. I let this consume me. I got to the point where I believed in the beginning stage what those stripes did for me. I was healed from malice. I was healed from hatred, from backbiting. This eye, I just can't see there being a bad eye in heaven. I just can't see it. I cannot see there being sugar diabetes in heaven. I can't see it. But I didn't make an ignorant stand outside of His word. I did it in His bosom. I rubbed shoulders with Him. I said, God, I read it. I know what You've begun. I know what You did. I know what You did 2,000 years ago, Jesus. I know what You did. You paid the ultimate price, not just for my emotion, but for my healing. You are everything that I could possibly ever need. I've never heard of there being less than 20/20 eyesight in heaven. There is no diabetes. So if it's not there, and Your will is supposed to be done here, like it is there, then what am I doing walking around like a barren man? Like a man that has no hope? You are my hope, my Redeemer. You live forever, Jesus. No weapon formed against me shall ever prosper. Why? Because He is King. He is Lord. And He abides in me. And by His stripes, we have been healed. Nothing in this world should faze me and you. Nothing should faze us. Malice, hatred, envy. And the moment we got born again, we had the power to kick that junk to the curb. We have an inheritance. We have a covenant according to Isaiah, but according to the New Testament, we got more than a covenant. We got an inheritance. See, my daddy's a king. And if he's a king, then I am royalty. And if I am royalty, I got everything, rights to everything that my dad has as a king. And let me tell you what he has. He has everything that was in that room that I dove in. Everything that I needed was in that room. And it's there, and it's mine. I just got to have the guts to believe that it's there. See, the Word of God doesn't adjust to situations at all. It doesn't adjust to situations. We just got to believe it where it's at, period. It doesn't adjust to situations. Well, God, you know, no. It doesn't matter. I got to have the guts to go in there and stay there till I receive what's mine. It's there. It's provided. I just got to believe that it's provided. I can't walk around barren. I can't walk around like I have no hope. I can't walk around feeling sorry for myself. I got to pick this up, greatly desire it, go from a living stone to a house being built up for spiritual sacrifice. And how do I do it? By greatly desiring something holy and undefiled. And this, my friends, is holy and it's undefiled. It is the ultimate answer. Holy and undefiled, pure than the purest of gold, according to Psalms 18. This is what I need, to be consumed by it. Every instruction on what I need in my Christian walk is right here in this good-looking Bible right here. This is what I need. I won't remain a living stone. I don't want to remain a living stone. I want to be a house that's being built up for spiritual sacrifice. And it's only attainable, he said, if you greatly desire the soul nourishing milk that you may grow thereby. I was embarrassed. And this is me talking about myself. I can say that with a clear heart and a pure conscience. I was embarrassed to go into that doctor, Pastor, to tell him about Jesus. This is me now. Please, you gotta picture this. I'm talking about me. To those nights of reading Isaiah, to those hours of praying in tongues, baptizing my emotion with His stripes. I'm going to go to the doctor, talk about Jesus to him a little bit, and yet sit down, Pastor, and have him fill my eye with laser treatment. There's no laser treatment in Isaiah 52 to 55. That's where I was at. That's where my faith was at now. Believe me, I'm not condemning anybody, but it just didn't line up with what he did for me 2,000 years ago. I'm not a barren man. I'm not a desolate city. He told me to expand my borders. He said, pitch your tent wide. Put down your stakes. You're about to be abundantly blessed. Well, when did I become abundantly blessed? When you asked Jesus Christ into your heart. You were abundantly blessed. You drank of his milk. You drank of his wine. You have been abundantly blessed. Now that I'm abundantly blessed, I got to dig in there as hard as I can, Pastor, and get all of my benefits out of Jesus Christ. All that he says that I can have, I just got to go in there and get it. I just got to get it. I don't want to be a living stone. I don't want to be a living stone, Pastor. I was that when I got born again. I want to be a house just like you being built up for a spiritual sacrifice. That's what we're called to do. And there's only one way to attain that. He said, if you desire his word, desire it tremendously, have a big time zeal for it. And by that word that we desire, it's so pure, nourishing milk to me and you. That's how we go from a living stone to a house being built up for a spiritual sacrifice. Now, this eye, in the natural, it still has a ways to go. That just means my faith has a little ways to go. It has to be built up some more. So how am I going to build it up? By the word of the Almighty God. By the word of the Almighty God. I'm going to build that house. I'm going to build that house. Those stripes were powerful. Those stripes were for me and you. And I tell you, it's even changed my confession without really confessing. There's a conviction in me to say anything contrary to the degree that I know what's in here to speak anything even remotely negative about his word. Well, how you doing? Well, you know, blah, like, you know, it's getting better. No. You got to have a vision for what's in heaven, a complete vision. There's no blindness in heaven. No poverty in heaven. No sugar diabetes in heaven. And if I can just imagine and see through his word what's attainable to me and you, I tell you, it changes your thought process in life. And I'm telling you, my friends, we're called more than just being living stones. We're called to be houses that are being built up for a spiritual sacrifice. Now, you can't become that house unless you are a living stone first. But I'm telling you, man, the sufferings of 1 Peter, when he said by his stripes we're healed, he's talking about people that were preaching the gospel being put in an arena to be torn apart by wild beasts. It's not talking about a bad day where my wife burned the tortillas and I lost my peace. We laugh and it's comical, but Pastor, the majority of the offenses in God's kingdom are so minor and fleshly. They don't. If our forefathers knew what the corporate body of church was offended at, they laugh like me in that room. They would just laugh like me in that room. They would laugh at us to an extent. Our sufferings should be because we stand firm in a conviction and in a hope of this man named Jesus Christ. Paul said in Philippians, it had become evident to the whole praetorium that my chains are in Christ. He said it has become evident in prison, in human dung. He said it has become evident to the whole palace guard that my chains are in Christ. The word evident means to shine. So he was in dung to his waist and dung. He said in that dung, in that darkness, he said, I shine. Paul, my friends, was in prison, in human dung, still producing miracles in prison. He said it has become evident, not by what he said. A lot of people preach Christ back there. He was still walking in power and might in the sufferings of Christ in prison and in dung. He still kept his testimony, not just here, but he still walked in the authority and the power of the Holy Spirit. Those are the true sufferings of Christ. That is what we've been healed. We got the power to make it through any suffering, through anything they put in front of us. We got the power through his stripes and through the rebirth to always keep our testimony. He said, it's become evident to the whole palace guard that my chains are in Christ. I won't stop. Glory to God. the ones that persecute me, me through my conduct in dung, I won't sell my testimony, because he that persecutes me, he deserves Jesus Christ too. And I will sow a seed into his heart by my conduct in chains and in dung. We've always said before that we don't have the power to save nobody. Well, that's true and it isn't true. See, you can't stop me from sowing a seed of love inside of you. No matter how much you hate me, no matter how much you talk about me, you can't stop me from walking according to something that I've been healed of. You can talk about me, you can mock me, I can talk about you, I can mock you, but you can't stop me, and I can't stop you from sowing a seed of love into my heart. You can't stop it. That's my choice. That's my prerogative in him. You can hate me, you can talk about me, or vice versa, but you can't stop me. I got the power through my conduct to sow a seed inside of you to win you over to Jesus Christ. You can't stop that at all. You can't stop anybody that's walking in love from sowing a seed in your heart, a seed of love, a seed of forgiveness. You can't stop it, and neither can I. You see, we've been healed 2,000 years ago by the stripes of this one man named Jesus Christ. We will. I said it before. I can think of a million other ways to die than being crucified upside down. But the day's going to come when we're so in love with Jesus Christ. Well, it won't matter. Well, we'll go to the cross and we'll touch it and say, oh, how long I've wanted to see you erected here. We'll find it a joy to go through anything in this world to satisfy the Savior. See, that kind of compassion that the 11 had, the kind of compassion that Christ the man had, you got to have an understanding of what you were created for. We have to have that understanding. We have to have it. I'm not after being a martyr, but I want the compassion that my forefathers had, a compassion that said, it doesn't matter what you do, my testimony, it will not be for sale. Put me in prison, my testimony won't be for sale. Put me in chains, put me in human dung, it will be evident to you that my chains are in Christ. How? Because I didn't lose my temper. I didn't lose my peace. I even had enough power in me to sow a seed of love in you and to win you over to Christ by my conduct. That, my friends, is what we're after. Or after God's holy, undefiled presence inside of me and you. That's what we're after. By his stripes, we have been healed. You got to grasp that, man. You got to grasp it and comprehend it. You have to grasp it. It will change you forever if you let it. I read that scripture in my eyes. Sometimes it would get worse. Sometimes I couldn't even read with glasses. But I seen the zeal that my forefathers had. I would go many a times through the road there and I'd see Pastor Brunt walking. I know he says sometimes he'll go home and get a sandwich and I'd see him. He don't even know it because I don't even honk when I see him. I'd see him just walk into the church determined to go to his closet. I would see him time in and time out and that would inspire me. Because I knew what he was going to do, but it would inspire me. Okay, I couldn't read Isaiah. I had a hard time. My eye was bad. The laser was getting to me. I had to close it up by praying in tongues. But I'd get up the next day and I'd try it again. And the surgery would blind me again and I'd have a hard time. But I'd do it again and again and again till the glasses come off. And then the light came on and I began to read. And it began to be birthed inside of me. My eyesight got better and it got better and it got better and it got better. And I ain't going to stop till it gets completely healed. Why? Because that's my inheritance. That's my inheritance, man. Completely. We have an inheritance. We have one and we are called to just go in there as hard as we can, man. As hard as we can to believe everything that this gracious, awesome man named Jesus Christ says that we have. It's there. It is there. His stripes gave me access to all that he is. We are a blessed, blessed, blessed people. We are even blessed. And I'm going to get a little arrogant. We are extremely blessed to be under what we're under as far as being taught what we're taught. We are extremely. Are you being arrogant? Yes, I am. In what we're taught. I'm being arrogant that we're not being deceived from the pulpit. I'm being arrogant that the five limbs that we have is what we need to reach what Christ has called us to attain. I'm not looking for anything else from nobody else. We have what we need to die to the things of this world, to receive our inheritance, to receive another outpouring, just like the book of Acts. We are in the right place, my friends. We are being taught to a T by the Holy Spirit first, and by Him second. Don't stop. Don't abort, man. Too many have. Too many have. Why did they abort? Well, Paul said that Demas left him because he loved the present world. He said, they were all with me. He said, Demas was with me, but he left because he loved the present world. He said, I have finished my course. I have fought the good fight. Henceforth is laid for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give not only to me, but unto all those that believe and love His appearing. We're called to finish, my friends. The moment we got born again, we had the power to overcome the flesh. We had that power. We're called to finish, not to struggle with carnal things for the rest of our life. And that belief and what we need is found in that place of intimacy with Jesus Christ. For I go from being a living stone to a house being built up for spiritual sacrifice when I greatly desire and hunger after this word. It nourishes my soul and I grow by it. Outside of this, there is no growth. Well, Pastor, what about worship? This book instructs me to worship. What about fasting? This book instructs me to fast. What about meditation? It instructs me to meditate. What about confession? It instructs me to confess. So all that we need is right here. I believe everybody in here wants to be a house being built up for a spiritual sacrifice. I don't believe anybody here wants to be or remain a living stone for the rest of your life. We've been called to fight a good fight, to finish the course. Going home when we're supposed to go home. Not going home premature. Not going home blind or without a limb because I didn't take care of myself and believe Jesus Christ was the healer. I'm telling you, we have all that we need in this holy, undefiled word. By His stripes, you were healed. You're not barren. I'm not barren. You're not desolate. I'm not desolate. Listen to this one more time. Without Christ, you're barren. Without Him, you're fruitful. But listen to what He said in Isaiah one more time before we go home. He said, oh, you afflicted when tossed with tempest, not comforted, barren, not born again. Behold, I will lay your stones with colorful gems and lay your foundations, Ralph, with sapphires. I will make your pinnacles of rubies, your gates of crystal, and all your walls of precious stones. All your children, Jerusalem or Israel, shall be taught by the Lord. And great shall be the peace of your children, Jerusalem. We are the children of Israel. We are the children of Jerusalem. We have been adorned with perfection. When we were barren without Christ, we received Christ. We received colorful gems inside of ourselves. Our foundations were laid with sapphires. My friends, we have been born again.
Hallelujah.
We are living stones, but we're being built up into a spiritual house.
Hallelujah, God.
We are peculiar, different people.
Yes.
Children, sons and daughters of the Most High God, grasp what those stripes did for you, man. They gave us the power to always sow a positive seed in somebody's heart. Why? Just because we want to. Just because we're born again. You can't stop me, man. You can't stop me from sowing a seed in your heart by my conduct in Christ Jesus. Paul said, I'm in chains, but I am not chained. You limit me physically to where I can move and can't move, but you can't limit the kingdom of God inside of my heart. I will sow a seed in love regardless of what you do to me. You can't stop the operation of God's kingdom inside of our spirit. You know why? Because by His stripes, man, by those 39 marks of freedom on His back, me and you have been made complete.
Hallelujah.
He is all that we need. I mean, when I say He is all that we need, listen to me. He is all that we need. I need nothing else but a personal relationship with this one man named Jesus Christ. If we're ever going to win society over, we're the just now. We came to God because we were unjust and He was just. His conduct was for me and you, the unjust. Now He passed the torch on to me and you. We got to go. The hypocrisy, the malice, and the evil speaking, that we should overcome that the day we got saved, according to 1 Peter. The day we got saved, we had the power to kick that. We got to go on to other things now. We're not living stones anymore. We're houses being built up for a spiritual sacrifice. How? By greatly desiring His Word. If we're ever going to make an impact in our town, in our city, we must learn through His Word how to sow seeds of love in people's hearts. You can't stop it. Talk about me. Rip me. Hate me. Slander me. You can't make me, when I say me in general, you can't make me act in a negative manner. You can't stop the operation of God inside of me and you. It can't be stopped. The only one that can stop it is me and you. My friends, by His stripes, we've been healed.
Yes.
Everything that we could ever need has been accomplished. 2,000 years ago, and it's waiting for you in a room of purity.
Yes.
Pass that frame of darkness with intensity. Go in there, receive your inheritance, and let's get on with this thing and receive what we're contending for. Why? Because by His stripes, we've been healed.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Maybe my favorite so far. Hallelujah. Kathy signed me up at the top. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank You for it, Father. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, Homer didn't know that the Holy Spirit had already said for us to have communion on Sunday. So this is just a prelude to that. No, we're going to let you go in just a minute. I'll tell you, just hearing those words, those are the words that take you into fighting the fight of faith. It's a good fight. Paul said to Timothy, he said, fight the fight. He said, fight the good fight. So I've been on both sides. I've been on the bad fight. I mean, like where I was putting up a stand, but my stand really wasn't in Him. It was a stand where, you know, they'd say, well, how you doing? Well, I'm doing all right. And, still, things will come. You know, they'll still come. I mean, to start with, things will may come at your flesh. And for the first 5 minutes, you might feel like you could fist fight. You, Pastor, why do you think I'm fasting? Especially when it comes to people you love. But I'll tell you, here's where you and I get. Usually by, I'd say like takes, not when I'm running, I'm not this slow, but when I'm walking that block, it takes about 11 minutes and 3 or 4 seconds just at a usual gait. Usually by that walk, whatever was loaded down on me, I've learned how to transfer whatever comes on Him. So that I'm back, usually, to normal status quo. But I know what it's like to go 5-6 months. You meet somebody, how you doing? Well, I'm... And you know, they wouldn't mention... I mean, you wouldn't get out of them what they're sore about. But you know they're sore. And you know that they're sore about it with somebody. But they think because they're not mentioning somebody's name that they're fighting a good fight. Listen, the good fight is this. There's a place in Him that it no more comes. And if you can't get rid of it right away, there are those things that Homer was talking about tonight, that if you stay on them long enough, that stuff can't stay around. It can't stay around. Because fighting the good fight is not when somebody says, "How you doing?" and they can tell. You say, "I'm doing okay. I'm not saying anything." No, but your demeanor is. You're talking louder than words. But listen, there's a way to get it off of you no quicker than it comes. Hallelujah. And we just heard that. That sincere milk of the Word. My God. I want to get 10 tapes and listen to all of them at the same time. One here, 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 here. I worship You, Father. I thank You for Your grace and Your love and all that You are to us, in us, and through us. So we enjoy You, Jesus. We love You. We love You. Thank You, Father.